you don't get to hear that every Sunday, I would welcome you to come back and hear them. I won't say the same thing if you don't hear me every Sunday. Most Easter Sunday mornings, we hear a message about the resurrection, of Jesus and what it really means in our lives. But this year, I want to take a different look at the resurrection and take a look at what Jesus has in store for us and for what the result of that resurrection was. We all know that we have life. We all know that we have forgiveness from sin. But there's a lot more things that we have. And I want to share a few of those. How many of us grew up with a dad? I'm not going to ask how many of us had a dad. But, you know, I mean, when you stop and think about it, a lot of people had a father. But I always saw it different. Fathers and dads to me are different. And my dad worked for Coca-Cola, and he serviced coolers for them when you used to put a quarter in or whatever it was and get soda out, and two-thirds of the time they never worked. Coke machines usually did. Coca-Cola did. It was the Pepsi ones that would really rob you. But I always remember he had this yellow pickup. It's what their colors used to be before they were red. And my brother and I always waited to see that pickup pull in the driveway because we knew he was going to come out and hit us some fly balls so that we can play baseball. We always knew that. Now, nights that he was late, huge disappointment. Or nights that he was tired, huge disappointment. But then there were other times when I remember sitting on a creek bank with him, fishing. And listening to some of the things that he would say, some I could repeat, some I couldn't, and some I wouldn't. But it was always interesting to listen to what he had to say, and I think that's what Jesus is saying through God. Sit down with me and just listen. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you what things are like. Let me tell you what's in store for you. Let me tell you how I can change your life. Because he issued a statement that said, come, sit down with me on the right hand of the Father. And you might say, well, but wait a minute, Larry. God said that to Jesus. Yeah, he did. But Jesus also raised us up to what? Sit next to him. So we see God. We see Jesus sitting at his right hand. And guess next to Jesus, there's Allison. There's Jason. There's June. Because the Bible said he raised us up to do that, to be there. To sit with him. And we think, man, that sounds really weird. Sounds really odd, but that's what the Bible says. Hebrews 4:16 says, to come into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. Well, that's what an overcomer is, because it's not every minute of every day that we have a need. There's a lot of times that we go through a day and we don't have a need, things are going well. But there comes that time when we are troubled, when we are burdened, when something is gotten to us that is really bugging us. And that's what he's saying is, come to me boldly. Quit acting like a beggar. And that's what a lot of Christians do. Meek, sorrowful, and I appreciate the song that Brandon sang at the cross because I told you I don't like the other one. And I won't tell you why again. But Yeah, well. It says, for he talks about us being worms. We were created in God's image. Folks, that ain't a worm. And so when we take a look at that, he wants us to enter in and he wants us to sit down with him. Put our arm around him, or him put his arm around us, and let us rest and let us be in peace. But one of the things that keeps us from doing that is a simple word called unbelief. Unbelief was what kept the Israelite children out of the promised land for 120 years. When they sent out the spies, they sent out 12 spies, and 10 of them came back and said, "We are as grasshoppers." But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, "You may think you're a grasshopper, but I'm sure they were sitting there saying, think about how big God is. Think about what God's done for us, and we're not a grasshopper." So when we're facing a problem, we don't look at the problem and say, "I'm overwhelmed, it's too much, it's too big for me." But we realize that God is so much bigger. And so we need to believe God and enter into the rest that we have when we sit down with him. That we can have rest in the midst of trials. Now, are we going to be tried? Yep, we're going to be tried. Are we going to be tested? Are we going to be tested? Is God going to test us? No. Satan will test you, and Satan will tempt you, and will do everything in the world to get you to live in the muck and the mire and the misery and live in the midst of that trial where Jesus says, "I want to deliver you from it," or maybe deliver you through it, but I want to get you out of it. Someone once said that one of the greatest causes of cancer is stress. Some cancer they can't find a cause for. Could very easily be stress. But he wants to get us out of stress, sickness, poverty, financial stress. In the midst of any problem, he wants to get us out of it. And that sounds great, but how do we do that? Well, he says in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest," and that rest is the peace that he gives us in the midst of a trial or a tribulation, "let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to all of us as well as to all of them. But the word which they heard did not profit them." Why didn't it profit them? Because they didn't believe. He said, "not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So if you don't have faith, you have unbelief. "For we who have believed do enter into that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." So the works to create faith were there from the foundation of the world, the very beginning. "For he has spoken at a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." And you're sitting there saying, "Well, he's talking about physical rest." No, he's not. He's talking about spiritual rest and spiritual confidence in what he said he would do. Because he says in verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and vital and real and can be proven." So what he's doing is he said, "Sit down with me. Sit down with me and let's talk. Come, spend some time in my rest." And we can do that because God has it covered. Everything that troubles us, God has it covered. We read it in his word. He said, "If you have sickness, call the elders of the church." Well, I don't think he's talking about just sickness. If you have a need, pray about it. If you don't get an answer, call the elders of the church. and pray about it, because the Bible says that where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And we see a lot of prayers answered here. So if you got a problem, let us know, because we are confident that God will answer that prayer. He says, sit down and shed the cares of the world. I'm not going to say we're never tempted to worry, because we are. Things bother us, things come into our lives, things come into our mind. But I am saying that what he did say was, let not your heart be troubled. For where I am, or where you are, we're together. He didn't say, let your heart be troubled. Don't fret about anything. Don't get upset about things. I worry sometimes because I'm accountable to God for what I say to you. I would gladly trade places so I could just sit and hear. But there's probably 100 people here today that God's going to say, you remember on April 16th, 2017, what you said to David? No. Well, let me remind you. And so what we're saying is that God's alive and he wants us to rest in him and be at peace. That's what we have because of the resurrection. Well, Larry, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, I agree. I don't. You don't know what I'm going through. Unless we confess it to one another. And then we pray for one another. Because that's what he's called to do. So how do we do that? What do we do? Quit meditating on the problem. Quit meditating on what bugs us. Too many people think about that. I'm not quitting yet. I'm just moving a chair. I know that's a sign. The only time the knee bothers me is at night when I'm sleep, trying to sleep. But he says, quit meditating on the problem. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Bring it to me and then rest in what I'm saying. That's because of what Jesus did when he rose and went on the right hand, sat on the right hand of God the Father, and then said he made us to sit in heavenly places with him. So we quit worrying about that. Quit contradicting what God said. That's pretty tough stuff. But like we said last week, one of the things that we have to do is commit that what the Bible says is true and quit trying to interpret it to what we mean. Because if we want it to mean what we want it to mean, when we want it to mean what we want it to mean, I know, we're never going to figure it out. But he wants us to know that it means what it says. And when he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, I think he means that. Quit meditating on the problem, the situation, the circumstances. Refuse to let your heart be troubled. Because we're sitting next to Jesus, who's sitting next to God the Father. And when we do this, inner turmoil will leave us. And we will find peace. We will find patience. We will find, as one of the things that Ray talked about this morning in class, five or six things he mentioned. And fortunately, he mentioned patience last, because that's probably the least important. I don't think so, do you? But there was several things that he mentioned. But he gives us those, and he gives us that if we rest. The same as the casting our care on him. He said to do that. Cast your care on me, for I care. How do you do that? You got to make a decision. Like you made a decision to pray that prayer earlier, if you weren't a Christian. You make a decision. But what do we do after we make a decision? Just sit around and wait for it to happen? I think we have to act on it. That's the next thing. Do something. It might be go to Tim and say, God showed me this. Can you believe it? And Tim's response is, I can believe God showed you anything.
Or
he might look at me and say, I can't believe God showed you anything. But that's what God expects of us. To make a decision, to stand on a decision. I'm going to share something with you that hit me this week as I was doing this message. And we talked about it during communion. But Isaiah said it, by my stripes you're healed. That's our physical healing. And then he said, by my shed blood is your spiritual healing. Well, if it ended there, that's all there is. But it didn't end there. Because he arose, and that is for our life healing. That's how we deal with life, because Jesus is resurrected. He died for our sin, but he rose again that we might have resurrection and have living healing, for lack of a better term. So if you want to live in God's rest, we have to continue to declare it. We have to continue to declare what it is. Confess faith. Confess the Word of God. Get in a Bible and read, let not your heart be troubled. And don't walk away and say, let your heart be troubled. Because that's not what it says. And if you need to confess it, open it up and read what it says. Try this. The Lord is my refuge in time of need. Doesn't get any better than that. When you're afflicted with something, realize it's not from God. It's from Satan. Sickness is not from God. And if you're sick and think that God's going to bless you through it, get over it. God's going to heal you and bless you. God's not going to get glorified by any sickness that you have. I'll tell you that right now. But he's going to be glorified when you're healed. The Bible says that we are redeemed from the curse. What's the curse? It's the curse of the law. It's Satan. We're redeemed from that garbage, that stuff that he does in our lives, tries to destroy us. We're free from that. So living in the blessing does take some effort. Doesn't come easy. Confusion creates disaster in the mind. So that's when we got to get back to believing what the Bible said and believing what the Word said. It comes into our lives when we try to blend what God's ways are with what the world tells us and what the world says to us, what your wise counsel of your friends say to you. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm probably going to saw it off. But if you need counsel, talk to a Christian. Don't waste your time talking to an unbeliever. And there's a lot of Christians in here that would be glad to listen to you, and we're starting a lay pastor class, and it's what it's designed for. That if you're going through a difficult time and you don't know how to deal with it, we're going to show you how to do it. We're not counselors. We're not going to be psychiatrists. Rest assured, Carolyn, you'll still have a job. But we are not that. But we can tell you practical steps to take to deal with things. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but thereof are the ways of death. We might think that something's the right way to go. But what he's saying is, come sit down with me. Let me talk to you. Rest in what I'm saying. Rest in what I'm telling you. We aren't blessed because we're rich. We are rich because we're blessed. And because God takes care of us. You stop and think about it. God doesn't even feed the birds. Really, they don't do anything. Make a mess of your car after you've washed it. But really, they fly around and we enjoy them. We love to hear them outside the window singing and all that stuff. But they don't have to worry about where their next meal's coming from. Because it's going to rain today and there's going to be plenty of worms. But really, I mean, that's, you stop and think about it. God's got all this stuff figured out. He's got us figured out too. We can't make ourselves any taller. So why worry about it? Why be concerned about it? We are who we are. And we are what we are. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day, talking about his wife, continues, he tries to lose weight. And he says she finally accepted who she is. And he says she's a totally different person. We are who God created us. And for some strange reason, he wanted us just like we are. He cares for the lilies of the field, the Bible said. Says he's going to clothe it. He said, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about tomorrow. I got it all under control. So let me give you one bit of application to try tomorrow. Get up every morning and say, what good is God going to do for me today? There's a pen back behind the back of the chair seat in front of you. You want to write that down. But what good is God going to do for me today? Then when the phone rings, think, I bet that's it. Live in anticipation of faith. Believe, because if I pick up the phone and somebody on the other end said, this is your number one pest, I know there, and I will tell you, I know there's a blessing on the other end of that phone. But do it in anticipation. What is God going to do for me today that's good? We need to count our blessings. Look all over them. We sang it earlier, and I thought it said it so well. Jesus said, sit down. We didn't sing that. But he means now and enjoy heaven on earth for the believer. The song was, because I am found, I am yours. Because I am loved, I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am healed. I am free. I am free from everything that Satan tries to do. And the rest of that says, after all, you're all I have. We're going to talk next 2 weeks, about living generously. And when we really get down to it and we look at that, when we walk out of this earth, Jesus is all we have. But that's all we need. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you have given us. The beauty of it, the love of one another, the opportunity to worship and gather and share our gifts one with another. So Lord, bless us this day. In your name we pray. Amen.